Welcome to Zichur Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today we're Zecher Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states that one may not hire workers on Shabbos, nor may a person tell his friend to hire workers for him. The Gemara questions why the Mishnah needed to teach the second point, as it's obvious that if he can't hire workers, his friend would not be able to do this as well. So Rav Ashi answered that the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, and is coming to teach that while one cannot ask his friend to hire workers for him, he can hire his friend himself as long as it's done in a non-direct way by asking him, shall we see whether you will join me in the evening, i.e. after Shabbos? Rabbi Baruch Hanan said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha's ruling is based on the pasuk, Mimso chepsecha v'daber davar, refrain from pursuing your business and speaking words. The words v'daber davar imply that dibra asur, hirur mutter, only speech is forbidden, but thought is permitted. Point number two, the Gemara questions this statement that speech is prohibited on Shabbos, bring numerous examples of permitted speech, including making calculations for the sake of a mitzvah, allocating stock of funds, arranging shidduchim for girls, and teaching a boy a text or a trade. The Gemara answers based on the pasuk mimso chepsecha b'daver daver, refrain from pursuing your business and speaking words. The word chepsecha implies chepsecha asurim, chepsei shamayim mutarim. Your business is forbidden, but the business of shamayim of heaven, i.e. a mitzvah, is permitted. And point number three, the Mishnah stated that one may go to the Tchum to wait nightfall for the purpose of guarding his property after Shabbos, and he may bring back produce. The Gemara says that the implication of the Mishnah is that he may pluck produce even before he recites Havdalah, as there's no wine in the field that he can recite Havdalah with. The Gemara asks, how is he permitted to do this? The Malach of Kotzer, of harvesting, for Rabbi Elazar ben Antigonus says, Asu lo la'adam shi'asach hafatzav kodem shi'avdil. It's forbidden for a person to attend to his affairs before reciting Havdalah. Two answers are given. One is that Rabbi Abba said to Rav Ashi, the Neres Yisrael, they would say, Hamavdil ben Kodesh al-Chol, and then do Malachi even before Havdalah was said on wine. So once again, the three points are, number one, the next Mishnah states that one may not hire workers on Shabbos, nor may a person tell his friend to hire workers for him. The Gemara questions why the Mishnah needs to teach the second point, as it's obvious that if he can't hire workers, his friend would not be able to as well. So Rav Ashi answered the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha and is coming to teach that while one cannot ask his friend to hire workers for him, he can hire his friend himself as long as it's done in a non-direct way by asking him, shall we see whether you will join me in the evening, i.e. after Shabbos? Rabbi Baruch Hanan said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha's ruling is based on the pasuk, Mimso chepsech v'daber daver, refrain from pursuing your business and speaking words. The words v'daber daver imply dibur asur, hirur mutter. Only speech is forbidden, but thought is permitted. Point number two, the Gemara questions the statement that speech is prohibited on Shabbos, bring numerous examples of permitted speech, including making calculations for the sake of a mitzvah, allocating stock of funds, arranging shidduchim for girls, and teaching a boy a text or a trade. So the Gemara answers based on the pasuk, Mimso chepsecha v'daber davar, refrain from pursuing your business and speaking words. The words chepsecha implies chepsecha asurim, chepsei shamayim mutarim. Your business is forbidden, but the business of Shemaim, of heaven, i.e. mitzvah, is permitted. And point number three, the Mishnah say that one may go to the Tchum to wait nightfall for the purpose of guarding his property after Shabbos, and he may bring back produce. The Gemara says that the implication of the Mishnah is that he may pluck produce even before he recites Havdalah, as there's no wine in the field that he can recite Havdalah with. So the Gemara asks, how is he permitted to do this? The Malach of Kotzer, for Rabbi Elazar ben Tugnia says, Asu la'adam shi'asach hafatzav kodem shi'avdil. It's forbidden for a person to attend to his affairs before reciting Havdalah. So two answers are given. One is that Rabbi Abba said to Rav Ashi that in Eretz Yisrael they would say Hamavdil ben Kodesh al-Chol and then do Malachi even before Havdalah was said on wine. All right, so now we go to our sim for Kuf Nun, and we had a lot of different types of cans of tuna, cans of sardines, cans of corns. We had the can-do type person. We had cones, like the orange cones, traffic cones, canes, kansipur, a lot of nests were suggestions, but I'm going to go with the suggestion that was mentioned a number of times, a con artist. We're going to use a con artist for Kuf Nun. So thank you everybody for your suggestions, and here goes. The con artist asked his partner if he was going to join him in the evening. After he heard people in Shul talk about tzedakah funds, to pretend they were anim harvesting in the fields, who just said, Hamavdil ben Kodesh al-Chol. Once again, in slow motion. The con artist, that must mean Rundaf Kuf Nun. The con artist asked his partner if he was going to join him in the evening, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that one may not hire workers on Shabbos, nor may a person tell his friend to hire workers for him. The Gemara questions why the Mishnah need to teach the second point, as it's obvious that if he can't hire workers, his friend would not be able to as well. Rav Ashi answered, the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha and is coming to teach that while one cannot ask his friend to hire workers for him, he can hire his friend himself as long as it's done in a non-direct way. By asking him, shall we see whether you will join me in the evening, i.e. after Shabbos? Rabbi Barachana said named Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha's ruling is based on the pasuk Mimso chepsecha v'daber davar, refrain from pursuing your business and speaking words. The words v'daber davar imply that dibur asur hirur mutter, only speech is forbidden, but thought is permitted. So the con artist asked his partner if he was going to join him in the evening after he heard people in the shul talk about tzedakah funds, which reminds the Gemara questions this statement that speech is prohibited on Shabbos, bringing numerous examples of permitted speech, including making calculations for the sake of a mitzvah, allocating tzedakah funds, arranging shidduchim for girls, and teaching a boy a text or a trade. The Gemara answers based on the pasuk Mimso chepsecha v'daber davar, refrain from pursuing your business and speaking words. The word chepsecha implies chepsecha asurim, chepse shemayim mutarim. Your business is forbidden, but the business of shemayim, i.e. mitzvah, is permitted. So the con artist asked his partner if he was going to join him in the evening after he heard people in shul talk about tzedakah funds, to pretend they were anim, harvesting the fields, who just said, Amavdil ben Kodesh Achol. Which reminds the Mishnah state that one may go to the tchum to wait nightfall for the purpose of guarding his property after Shabbos, and he may bring back produce. The Gemara says that the implication of the Mishnah is that he may pluck produce even before he recites Havdalah, as there's no wine in the field that he can recite Havdalah with. The Gemara asks, how is he permitted to do this, the Malach of Kotzer, for Belezer ben Antigonus says, Asur lo adam shi'aseh chafatzav kodem shi'avdil. It's forbidden for a person to attend to his affairs before reciting Havdalah. So two answers are given. One is what Rabbi Abba said to Rav Ashi, that in Eretz Yisrael, they would say, Amavdil ben Kodesh Achol, and then do Malach even before Havdalah was set on the wine. So once again, the con artist asked his partner if he was going to join him in the evening after he heard people in shul talk about tzedakah funds, to pretend they were anim, harvesting the fields, who just said, Hamavdil ben Kodesh Achol. All right, now it's time for a four blah back Hazara. Daf Kuf Mem Vav. So the symbol Kuf Mem Vav is a kimono. So here goes. The samurai warrior in his kimono garb. Kimono? That must be one Daf Kuf Mem Vav. The samurai warrior in his kimono garb took his razor-sharp fig-cutting sword, which reminds us, the next mission of the Perek states, that one may use a sword to break open a barrel to eat dried figs from it, provided that he does not intend to make a vessel through creating a proper hole in the barrel. Rashi explains that breaking open the barrel without any intention to make it into a vessel is an act of makalkel, destruction, which is permitted on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara clarifies that the Mishnah only permits breaking the barrel for pressed figs, not loose figs. This, says the Gemara, goes according to Rabbi Nechemiah, who holds, Ein kli nito ela tashmishim yuchla. A utensil is only permitted to be moved if one is moving it to use for its specialized purpose. Rashi explains that since the person requires the sword to separate the pressed figs, it's permitted to use the sword to open the barrel as well. If the figs in the barrel are loose, however, then the sword is not required for its usual purpose, meaning to cut the figs apart, and therefore it's prohibited to move. So the samurai warrior in his kimono garb took his razor-sharp fig-cutting sword and poked a two-way hole in the smelly chicken coop, which reminds us, Rabbah said, Dvar Torah kol pesach she'enu asu hachnis lahotzi eno pesach. As a matter of Torah law, any opening that is not made for the purpose of bringing things in and taking things out is not deemed a true opening, and therefore one is not liable for its creation. The Rabban, however, prohibited even one-way openings because of the case of chicken coops. The purpose of a hole in a chicken coop is to both allow air to enter and also to let lethal vapors escape. Now, since many people are not aware of the second reason, they'll think that the hole is only in order to let air enter, and they'll conclude that it's permitted to make a hole in the chicken coop. Therefore, the Rabban prohibited even one-way openings. So the samurai warrior in his kimono garb took his razor-sharp fig-cutting sword and poked a two-way hole in the smelly chicken coop, perched on top of the cask of wine with the flimsy plug. Which reminds us, it was stated in the Brayta that all agree that it's permissible to reopen an old hole in a cask. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that this Brayta was referring only to holes that were plugged in a place where it was meant l'shamer, to preserve the aroma of the wine, but not in a place l'chazek, where it was meant to strengthen the cask. Rush explains that since a plug used to keep the vapors from escaping was quite flimsy, the cask remains with the status of a perforated vessel. Reopening the vessel is therefore permissible. This is in contrast to a plug used to ensure that the wine does not flow out. Since this pug creates a complete seal, erases from a halachic standpoint the existence of the perforation. Removing the seal is therefore forbidden, as it's tantamount to creating a new opening. Daf Kuf Mem Zayin. So the simple Kuf Mem Zayin is a kumzitz. So here goes. The kumzitz, that must mean one Daf Kuf Mem Zayin. The kumzitz got off to a rocky start when a bacher started shaking the dust off his new garment, which reminds us, Rav Huna said, Hamna'ar talis b'Shabbos chayv chatas. One who shakes his cloak on Shabbos to clean it is liable chatas. Rashi explains that he's shaking dust off of it, which is a tolda of the malachim melabein, of laundering. The Gemara qualifies this ruling that it only applies to garments of the owner's particular belt wearing without shaking off the dust, such as new garments and black garments. If the owner is not particular about shaking the dust off these garments as well, he would not be liable chatas if he did shake them off. So the kumzitz got off to a rocky start when a bacher started shaking the dust off his new garment onto 10 bachrim who just dried themselves off with one towel. Which reminds the next Mishnah states that if one bathed in cave water or in the Chami Tveria and dried himself with even 10 towels, lo yivim biyado, he may not carry them, the towels, home in his hand. Whereas 10 people may dry themselves with one towel drying their faces, hands, and feet, mevinos biyado, and they may carry the towel home in their hands. The Gemara explains that the first part of the Mishnah is teaching the novelty that even though one person dried himself with 10 towels, and it's presumed that the towels have very little water in them, he's not allowed to bring them home, came the chadhu asil de schita. Since he's one person, he may forget and come to squeeze water out of the towels. The second part of the Mishnah is coming to teach that the novelty that even though one towel can be resumed to be saturated with water from 10 people using it, they can still bring it home, came to rabim ninu madukhi hadadi. Since there are many, they'll come to remind each other not to squeeze it. Rav Yosef stated that lach is not like our Mishnah, but rather one person is allowed to bring a towel home with them, and he mentioned four rabbanim that support this view. So the kumzitz got off to a rocky start when a bacher started shaking the dust off his new garment onto 10 bachrim who just dried themselves off with one towel, and then the rough man of town forgot his Dvar Torah. Which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach once came to the region Pugisa de Yomsis and became attracted to the worldly pleasures there and forgot his Torah learning. The Midrash in Kohel's Rabbah relates that he went to the area after the death of Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai when the other Talmidim went and reestablished the academy in Yavne. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach returned and read from the Torah. Instead of reading, Achodesh Zel Echem, this month shall be for you, he read, Hacher Shayel Gibam, was their heart silent? The Rabban Davin for him and his Torah knowledge returned. This incident illustrates what's learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Nahore Omer, Hevi Golo Makm Torah, Baal Tomar Shehitavu Acharecha, exile yourself to a place of Torah, and do not presume the Torah will follow after you. Shechabarecha Yekamohu B'yadcha, for it's your colleagues who will cause it to remain with you. Rashi explains that while he's learning one Masechta, his chaver will be learning a masechta that he'd already learned, and through discussion, he'll refresh his memory. The mission concludes, V'albinascha al-tisha'ein, and do not rely on your own understanding. Rashi explains that one should not say that he will not forget his learning. Daf Kuf Mem Ches, so the simple Kuf Mem Ches is Kemach flour, so here goes. The baker covered in flour, that must be more in Daf Kuf Mem Ches. The baker covered in flour who borrowed pitchers of oil on Shabbos, saying, Hashileni, which reminds us, the opening mission of the 23rd parak states, that one may borrow pitchers of wine or pitchers of oil from his friend on Shabbos, provided that he does not say to him, Halveni, lend me. This implies that one can borrow the items using the different expression of Hashileni. Rabbi Bar Rav Chanan asked Abai what the difference is between these two expressions. Abai responded that if the borrower says Hashileni, the lender will not come to write down the loan because this term signifies a loan of objects, which is usually short-term. The term Halveni, on the other hand, denotes a long-term loan of money, and the lender might come to write it down. Rush explains that Halveni refers to a loan of 3 days unless specified otherwise, and the lender will write down so as not to forget about it. So the baker covered in flour who borrowed pitchers of oil on Shabbos saying Hashileni didn't rebuke his guests who were dancing and clapping, which reminds us, Rabbi Bar Rav Chanan asked Abai why we don't rebuke people that we see clapping their hands, beating their chests, or dancing when it's taught explicitly in the Mishnah that these activities are forbidden on Shabbos. Rashi states that dancing might lead to fixing a broken musical instrument, which would be the malach of Magen B'Patish. Abai answered that since people continue to do so even if they're rebuked, mutav shiyu shogegin v'ayu mezidin, it's preferable that they sin unintentionally rather than deliberately. The Gemara clarifies that this principle applies equally to a deraisa. For although one is required to extend the fast of Yom Kippur by starting earlier on the 9th, we see that people eat and drink right up until it gets dark, and we don't rebuke them. So the baker covered in flour who poured pitchers of oil on Shabbos saying, Hashileni, didn't rebuke his guests who were dancing and clapping because they were already going to court for a loan they took on Yantav. Which reminds us, there's a machlokas marayim whether a permissible loan made on Yantav is reclaimable in court. Rav Yosef said, well, nitnali tava, it's not reclaimable in court. And Rav said, nitnali tava, it is reclaimable in court. The Gemara explains that according to Rav Yosef, the reason that it's not reclaimable in court is that if it were reclaimable, the lender might come to write a record of the loan in Yantav. If it's not reclaimable, then there's no point in writing it down since you can only rely on the borrower's word. The reason the Rav says that the loan is reclaimable in court is that if it's not reclaimable, then the lender will refrain from lending and the borrower will be prevented from Simchas Yantav if he's unable to borrow money and attain provisions. Daf Kufmentes. So the Simcha from Kufmentes is a comet. So here goes. The astronomer reviewing the guest list for his upcoming comet-gazing party. Comet, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Mem Tes. The astronomer reviewing the guest list for his upcoming comet-gazing party, which reminds us, the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Mem Ches Amabe stated that a person may count his guests and desserts orally, but not from a written note. The Gemara brings Machokas Amarayim as to the reason. Rabibi says, Gezer Shema Yimchok. It's a Rabbanan that was enacted lest one erase something from the list. Rashi explains that the host might see that he didn't prepare enough food for all of his guests, and he'll delete some guests from his list so that the servant will not invite them. It's a derabban because midiraisa, one has only transgressed the malach of mochik, erasing, if it's to make space for writing. Abaya says, gezer shim yikra b'shtari hediotos. It's a derabbanan that was enacted lest one read from common documents, which Rashi understands as business-related documents. So the astronomer reviewing the guest list for his upcoming comet-gazing party decided to disinvite the artist who was going to paint the starry night, which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa that one is forbidden from reading on Shabbos the captions under a picture or artworks, such as scenes of David fighting Goliath. Rashi explained that reading from them on Shabbos is prohibited because one may come to read from starry hediotos. The braisa continues and prohibits gazing at artwork even during the week, as it says in the pasuk, Al tifnu el elilim, do not turn to idols. Rabbi Chanan interprets this pasuk to mean, Al tifnu el medaydchem, do not turn to that which comes from your minds. Rashi explains that the word elilim is related to the word chalalim, recesses, referring to the recesses of one's mind. We're showing debate whether the prohibition applies only to gazing at items designated for avodah zarah, even if they haven't been worshipped, or it's a broader application to art in general. So the astronomer reviewing the guest list for his upcoming comet-gazing party decided to disinvite the artist who was going to paint the starry night, when he found out he did the portrait for an evil emperor. Which reminds Rabbi Yaakov Reidabas Yaakov said, Kol shechavero nanash al yado, anyone whose friend was punished on his account, ein machnisin osa b'michitzatso shel Kodesh Baruch Hu, is not admitted into the enclosure of Kodesh Baruch Hu. In seeking the source of Rabbi Yaakov's statement, the Gemara mentions an incident involving Sidki and Nebuchadnezzar, suggesting that Sidki was responsible for Nebuchadnezzar's punishment. The Gemara rejects this premise in part because Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav that Sidki was righteous and a helpless victim, where Hashem protected when Nebuchadnezzar sought to do a disgraceful deed to him. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1, which stuff to learn why at times it's better not to give tochacha? That's on Duff. Kuf Mem Ches. Good. Number 2, which stuff to learn that Sidkia wasn't guilty for bringing about Nebuchadnezzar's punishment? That's on Duff. Kuf Mem Ches. Good. Number 3, which stuff do we learn that speech involving Chefsei Shemaim is permitted on Shabbos? That's on Daf. Kufnun. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we have a Machokas as to why one can't count guests from a written list? That's on Daf. Kufmem Tes. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do we learn that Eidos, Eid Mephi, Eid, secondary testimony is valid in certain situations? That's on Daf. Kuf Mem Hei. Good. Number 6. Which of the one one can say Hamavdil bin Kodesh Lechol and then do Malacha? That's on Duff. Kuf Nun. Good. Number 7. Which of the one you can break a barrel with a sword if it's for pressed figs, which is Rabbi Nechem Yeshita? That's on Duff. Kuf Mem Vav. Good. Number 8. Which of the one have a Machokas regarding squeezing pickled vegetables? That's on Duff. Kufim Hey, good. Number 9. Which stuff do we learn when one can carry wet towels? That's on Duff. Kufim Zayin. And number 10, which stuff do we learn when you can reopen a hole in a wine cask? That's on Duff. Kufim Vav. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1, which stuff do we learn? Al tiftach peh lesatan. That's on Duff. Yutes. Good. Number 2, which stuff do we learn that the Beis Midrash was open the day the Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah became the Nasi? That's on Duff. Chavches. Good. And finally, number three, which have they learned what one does if they put food in their mouth without making a bracha? That's on Duff. Nun. Excellent. All right. That concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Golder from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.